Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, summer is upon us. Many people are heading overseas, and we thought we'd look at some of the best gardens to visit around different parts of Europe. The places that many Irish people will head to over the coming weeks and months. And to do all of it for us, we're joined by Ed Finn of Ed Finn Travels. Now, Ed, this is a side to you that I think a lot of people won't know about, because you're a gardener yourself and it runs in the family, am I right?
Yeah. My grandfather was a brilliant gardener, Rory Pettigrew, who actually was brought up in Hollywood, County Down. And yeah, he loved gardening. And I kind of got it from him. And when I was very young, I remember in Cork, in Bishopstown, we won Best Garden in Bishopstown for our African marigolds, geraniums, salvias and cineraria, Claire.
So fabulous.
My mother was always a great gardener as well. So I absolutely love it. And I find gardens, for me, they're timeless. And the ones that we're going to talk about now, they haven't changed over the years. And it's a wonderful, it's kind of like a little walk into the past and places of sort of nostalgic loveliness. Mm-hmm. And
So you have the expert view from the travel side, but also from the gardening side.
Yeah,
so you're the perfect person to do this job for us. So we're going to the UK first, and you've two gardens to pick from there. The first is in Oxfordshire. So tell us where we're going.
Yeah, so I suppose clearly this would be Rousham in Oxfordshire, designed by the famous designer William Kent. This would be, I suppose, the quintessential landscape garden. Now, in 1737, Kent was asked by General Dormer, the owner at the time, to redesign the house and gardens. And this was the first time that a designer brought the landscape into a garden. So, of course, then after that became the great landscape gardens. So before that, gardens were sort of seen as refuges, like to keep the world out. Mm-hmm. But Kent brought in cattle grazing. He included rivers and rolling landscapes. And it was revolution at the time. And it was absolutely amazing.
So you could see the farmland. It wasn't just the manicured garden that you were seeing.
Absolutely. And in fact, Rousham, I would say to you, is the colour you will see in Rousham is green, and it's layers and layers of green, swathes of laurels and tall trees and cypresses. But the layers of green and the light that filters through the trees, it is, the last time I was there, it was on a rainy May day, a bit like today, but wasn't as heavy. And I remember thinking, God, this place is just something else. And it was actually amazing because, the British, I suppose, are, and we too, have an obsession with colours and plants and all that. Whereas Kent, he just went with this new vision of simplistic sort of green. But it is a place of tranquility. And again, as I said, it's extraordinary to see what he's done there. They've all these alcoves as well that he built. He modelled stuff, the Vale of Venus, for example, where there is a statue of Venus, also called the Goddess of Gardens, of course. And you can sit in these alcoves and take in the vista of these quiet places, and they're all dotted around. Now, at the time when people would have gone there, this would have been like a theme park at the time, because they wouldn't, like, this would have been something like a revelation to people. And unless you'd been on the grand tour around Italy, you would never have seen any of this sort of stuff.
So that is that a half day or a day visit?
Would be a half day. And it's in Oxford, it's Oxford. So it's Oxfordshire. So, it's very easy to get, you get loads of trains there from down from London. So it's very easy to get there. And a half day would be lovely. And the area that you go to, of course, you can pop into Oxford as well, and if you wanted to do that. But lovely trip.
And have a little nosy around Oxford. So we're going to Kent for the next one, still now, in England.
Yeah, now this, the garden, Sissinghurst in Kent, right? Now this is grade one listed garden. And again, I suppose, what's interesting about this is Vita Sackville West, who was a poet and a writer, and she was obsessed with Virginia Woolf, for example, and her husband, Sir Harold Nicholson. This is an amazing garden because it almost represents the tension between the two. She was into kind of haphazard planting, and Harold was into very strong formality. But there's 10 garden rooms here in Sissinghurst. One of the famous would be the White Garden. The cottage garden is probably, when you walk into the cottage garden, you probably think, this is the garden of my dreams. You will just think, oh my God. And it looks as if it's kind of thrown together, but there's an amazing lot of preparation. operated going through. Now, this is owned by the National Trust, of course, and the National Trust have a great tie into the British psyche, and they know the love of great houses and gardens and the sort of allure to the past that the British love.
And they do such a good job as well.
Amazing.
They look after them really well.
And what's lovely here, like, for example, the White Garden here, you're talking about the big, you know, cascade that had lilies and Japanese poinias, and there's loads of white in it. But the real strong thing here about the garden is it's a backdrop of box and yew green hedging. So it's the contrast between the white and the green that really makes this really, really something special. And they've raised gardens and herb gardens as well, which are really good. And of course, this was built in the 1930s, you're talking about. Vita Sackville West, she was the eldest girl, so she didn't inherit this property. She actually ended up buying it. There's a great story to this, how she actually acquired it. But the 10 garden rooms are wonderful. And there's a Tudor castle as well, which is nice.
Right, thrown in for good measure.
Yeah.
And a cup of tea and a slice of cake.
Yeah, a cup of tea and a slice of cake, exactly. That's really, so that is a really good one. And again, it's easy to get to down in Kent, of course, the Garden of England.
Okay, so now we're leaving England and we're going to France and to Monet's gardens. Where would you be?
Now, I mean, Monet, of course, amazing. In 1880, Monet lived here from 1883 to 1926. And he sort of bought these gardens as a sort of a raw material for, of course, his famous paintings, lilies and stuff. I saw Monet's lilies recently when I was in the museums in Cleveland and in Philadelphia. Huge, big, you know, his lilies, amazing. But this, the garden was really a sort of inspiration for him to sort of get the colour and sort of for his work. But it is absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's a place of absolute bucolic peace. And when you go there, I mean, the colours and the light, and of course, his famous use of light is amazing. And the water lilies there are fantastic as well.
So the location then, it's
Giverny.
Northwest of Paris.
That's right. So it's 75 kilometres northwest of Paris. It's a place, like, for people who love Impressionism, like, this is a place for devotees of Impressionism. Now, during the summer months, it would be very, very busy.
Rammed, I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, but the famous thing, I mean, the water garden and the Japanese bridge that he built there, they're amazing. And, I mean, the other thing as well, of course, is the sort of asymmetrical way that everything is laid out is beautiful as well. But it's one of those must-see. If you like gardens, this is one that you'll absolutely love it.
You say it's better though in the shoulder months, maybe to
yes.
avoid the crowds.
I love shoulder months, Claire. I'm not mad about crowds at all, right? So I love going to places when they're half empty. But yes, absolutely, September would be a gorgeous time. And again, in like the different months here, right, just to give people an idea, it changes so much in the different months. But if you go there like in September, you're talking dahlias, sky-high sunflowers, hollyhocks. Like in July now, you're talking about sort of, you know, summer planting. But September is a great time to go
okay.
there.
Well,
beautiful.
And
the weather's nice as well.
We're staying in France now. We're going to the Garden of Villandry. What do you love about this one?
Yeah, now, these gardens are amazing. Villandry, as you said there, right? They are...
No, I didn't. I didn't say it like a French person
no,
at all.
No. Brilliant. Six hectares of kitchen gardens, Claire, right? I know you love a kitchen garden. Cascading flowers, vines. Again, now, just to give people an idea, this was built by Jean Le Breton, who was, I suppose, he was kind of the finance minister and he was the ambassador to Italy. So again, a huge kind of an Italian Renaissance influence on this. Now, there's 10 gardeners that look after this Villandry, right? And when you go there, I suppose what you'll see will be labyrinths, ornamental gardens, water gardens. It really is something else. The garden, the Jardin du Soleil, the sun garden, is amazing. But the most famous one really is the kitchen garden, which is cabbages, leeks, carrots, like you've never seen them. I mean, like, absolutely amazing. Now, I think they must cut the hedge with scissors or something, because they are razor sharp, and the way the gardens are laid out are amazing. And these kind of geometrical coloured kitchen gardens of purples and greens, and it's something else. And I mean, it is so regal and like perfect in every way.
Now, we're going to Spain, and if anyone is planning to sit on a sun lounger for 2 weeks, you're going to encourage them to get up and go to...
Yes, the Generaliff Gardens or the Alhambra, of course, which is very, very famous. Now, the Moors, as you know, rules Spain, rules this area in Andalusia for 781 years. So the Alhambra and the gardens are probably one of the best examples ever of a sort of Islamic architecture. Mm-hmm. But the gardens were really where the sultans would spend their sort of summertime there. And there was a lot of interesting things went on there because I suppose the thing about the gardens is if you think of every imaginable hue that you can think of colour and fountains, because the culture that they had was all about peace and tranquility, which was really interesting. So okay. it's a stunning property.
If you're in or around Malaga.
Granada. Exactly. Up from Malaga, about an hour and 10 minutes on the train or something like that. Very, very nice. And there was lots of scandal went on there as well because there was affairs. And I think the wife of the last ruler, the Nasrid ruler, Bombadil, she used to have an affair in the courtyard with the knight of the Abencerath. I'm trying to say that right, their family. That was back in 2005, 2004.
Give you something to gardens, think about.
Gardens are great places for romps.
What a place to leave it. Ed, thank you so much for your
pleasure,
expertise
Claire.
On travel, on gardens and all the other stuff too.